think it's a very big risk for me to go back right now, so I would like to stay here.
Foreign students in the U.S. and China, unsure of whether to stay or to go. It's Tuesday, April 14, and this is VOA Asia coming to you from Washington. I'm Doug Bernard. Coming up, China's coronavirus caseload grows, the virus spreads in Africa, and VOA in the crosshairs. That and much more coming up on VOA Asia. China is reporting its highest number of new coronavirus cases in more than 5 weeks, saying most of them originated abroad. Officials said Monday that mainland China had 169 new confirmed cases of the infection, with 61 of them described as asymptomatic COVID-19, the disease caused by the virus. The government said that 98 cases were imported by people arriving from abroad. The total figure represents the highest number of new cases since March 6. The increase has sparked concern about a second wave of infections in China, which was the original epicenter of the pandemic. The latest figures in China are just over 82,000, with over 3,000 deaths, according to data released Monday by the National Health Commission. By comparison, the U.S. has the largest number of cases currently in the world, nearly 560,000, and more than 22,000 deaths, that according to data from Johns Hopkins University. China's cases peaked in mid-February, and earlier this month, Beijing reported its first day of no new cases since the outbreak was first identified in late December. But China has been accused of downplaying the severity of the crisis at a time when more candor may have given the rest of the world a clearer picture of what was happening and more time to prepare a response. Some international students in China are feeling relieved as the lockdown in Wuhan, China is being lifted after the COVID-19 outbreak. But they remain concerned about family back home. The virus has spread to more than 170 countries. Sahar Majid has more in this report, narrated by Kathleen Struck.
When the COVID-19 virus broke out in China, more than 20 countries evacuated their citizens from Wuhan. But many foreign students chose to stay or could not afford to leave. This is one student speaking back in February.
I think it's a very big risk for me to go back right now, so I would like to stay here. If any mistakes happen and I go back to my home, and in 14 days I will already be contaminated people around me.
2 months later, students emerging from lockdown are sharing their thoughts with family members back home, where the number of confirmed cases is growing.
The situation has improved here a lot, about 80 to 90%, but we are still worried, as coronavirus has now affected many other countries, including Pakistan, and now we are concerned about our families back home.
Other international students say they want to leave Wuhan and have asked their governments to return them home.
There's a sharp decline in the number of people affected by coronavirus in Wuhan. We are still feeling unsafe, though, which is adding to our depression, anxiety, and fear with each passing day. The government of Pakistan evacuated 6,000 pilgrims from Iran. We are requesting the government to help us and send us back to Pakistan.
Some countries remain hesitant to return citizens from Wuhan, and parents are frustrated.
We will continue our protests until our children are brought back. We have no other demand. We only need our children back, who are dangling between life and death. They are falling victim to depression.
And Jonathan Nahar, the student who stayed in Wuhan to limit the spread to her home country, remains worried about her family.
And right now, I don't really regret to stay here, but it makes me sad that back home the situation is not okay, and I cannot get the real. I cannot get any idea what's going on there.
As the lockdown in Wuhan is lifted, a date for students to return to the classroom remains unclear. For Sahar Majid, Kathleen Struck, VOA News, Washington.
These are some of the Asia news headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe slammed over stay-home shutdown tweet. COVID-19 cases near zero in Taiwan, however, restrictions remain. North Korea says it will boost antivirus efforts. And Indonesia's Anak Krakatau volcano shoots ash and lava into the sky. Those are just some of the stories, and you can learn much more by visiting us on Facebook, Instagram, or our website, voanews.com. Saudi Arabia has extended a nationwide coronavirus curfew indefinitely after infections increased in recent days. The nation of about 30 million or so has recorded over 50 deaths. Some members of the Saudi royal family are themselves infected. Last week, the Saudi-led coalition fighting in neighboring Yemen announced a unilateral ceasefire. Shortly afterward, Yemen reported its first coronavirus case. Dale Gavlak reports from Amman, Jordan.
The Saudi capital Riyadh and other big cities have been placed under a 24-hour curfew to try to stem the spread of the virus. The Saudi health minister has warned there could be 10,000 to 200,000 COVID-19 cases in the kingdom in the coming weeks. Royals have also fallen victim. Prince Faisal bin Bandar bin Abdulaziz Al Saud, the governor of Riyadh, aged in his 70s, is in intensive care for coronavirus, the New York Times reported, citing doctors and hospital communications. King Salman and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, known as MBS, have gone into isolation to avoid the outbreak. Joseph Bahout, a Carnegie Middle East Program Fellow, tells VOA that de facto ruler MBS may see fallout over the kingdom's coronavirus policy.
The very interesting news about the royal family being now directly contaminated. We are talking about something like 150 brain cells that are already in hospital, and they are preparing some 500 beds to welcome senior members of the family. And this will be, of course, also something that will be put in the liability line of MBS with other things. They have boasted in the beginning that they were dealing with the coronavirus very well, that they were much more equipped than other countries, but now reality is catching up with them.
Health officials in the country believe many of the royal patients became infected abroad. Meanwhile, the Saudi-led coalition backing Yemen's government announced a unilateral two-week ceasefire in Yemen that went into effect on April 9. Yemen is already suffering through a humanitarian crisis. Gulf analyst Cynthia Bianco of the European Council on Foreign Relations tells VOA there are serious concerns for Yemen's population, already experiencing a lack of food, clean water, medical care, and diseases like cholera, let alone coronavirus now.
There are real concerns in terms of the availability of health resources and whether it is possible at all to do social distancing. So I think it will spread quite quickly. And in 3 months from now, we will see a peak level of contagion in Yemen to the point that it will definitely and necessarily impact also political groups, militias, and everyone who is involved in the war.
The Iranian-backed Houthi Shiite rebels call the Saudi ceasefire a ploy to try to boost its international standing. They accuse the coalition of several attacks the same day the ceasefire was announced. The UN warns that should the virus spread, the impact would be catastrophic. Dale Gavlak for VOA News, Amman.
Even though many countries began advising citizens to wear face masks in public not long after the coronavirus outbreak started, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention only recently began recommending that people use cloth coverings for their faces in public places like grocery stores. In Los Angeles, one fashion designer, who is also a registered nurse, started making face masks even before the U.S. issued the new recommendation. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has the details.
This is the result when a Los Angeles fashion designer, who is also a nurse, gets an idea.
It does have elastic ear loops. It also has a nose wire to have it adjust to the size of your nose and to squeeze down. And then also there is a pouch.
And one on the other side.
Before the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention revised its guidelines and started recommending people wear cloth face masks, Sonia Smith-Kang had been researching, designing, and making these cloth face masks from the surplus fabric of her clothing company because she heard healthcare workers needed them. She posted her creations on social media, and the response has been overwhelming.
All of a sudden, overnight, we got hundreds of not only requests from healthcare professionals, but also from individuals who may have underlying conditions or just want to shop or walk outside.
For every mask she sells, one is donated to a healthcare worker or first responder. Smith-Kang has already shipped hundreds of masks to those working in healthcare across the country.
As quickly as we're making them, we're shipping them.
According to e-commerce website Etsy, which sells handmade items, a face mask has been the most frequently searched item in the last 2 weeks. The website even created guidelines for sellers who are making masks. The CDC advises people to wear cloth face coverings in public because studies show many people with coronavirus don't have symptoms but can still pass the virus on to others. Wearing a face mask can help prevent that from happening.
So you're not really trying to prevent somebody from infecting you. You're trying to prevent infecting other people. So
Farah Sabani oversees the infection control program at the 8 hospitals at Houston Methodist. He cautions people wearing a face mask still need to follow the 6 feet distancing rule and make sure they don't touch the mask when they're wearing it.
Humans are not used to wearing masks. So if they do not practice good hand hygiene, they can actually contaminate the mask if they keep adjusting it, removing it, wearing around the neck and so on.
The CDC is asking the public to wear cloth masks and reserve surgical masks and N95 respirators for healthcare workers. In the meantime, Kang Smith and her team will continue to sew, sell, and donate face masks to those who need them. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Los Angeles.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news update, Pakistan on Monday summoned an Indian official to protest cross-border shelling from its neighbor that it said had killed a child and wounded 4 civilians. India and Pakistan have long accused each other of mortar and artillery shelling across the de facto line of control in the Kashmir region. Much more on this story at our website, voanews.com.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
The Human Rights Campaign, the largest LGBTQ advocacy group and political lobbying organization in the United States, recently published the results of its research that showed that the LGBTQ community will be quite hard hit by the COVID-19 virus. Maxine Moskalkov has the story.
COVID-19 will strike the LGBTQ community more than other groups, according to research by Human Rights Campaign in Washington, D.C. The organization's president, Alfonso David, says LGBTQ members are at higher risk of getting infected.
We're seeing that 17% of LGBTQ people lack access to health care. 1 in 5 have not seen a doctor because they cannot afford to go to a doctor. Many don't have paid family leave. Many are living with chronic illnesses and conditions. Many, of course, have HIV. So if you have a weakened immune system, you're more likely to be susceptible to COVID-19.
Add to that, 40% of all homeless people in America who are under 21 identify as LGBTQ, despite what David says is a myth that many are middle class or even wealthier.
The reality is 1 out of 5 LGBTQ people currently live in poverty. And the COVID-19 crisis, as you may know, affects so many different industries, but is going to disproportionately impact the LGBTQ community.
Washington, D.C. resident Slava Revin recently lost his job due to the coronavirus impact.
On Monday, March 16th, we received the order from the D.C. mayor that all restaurants must only serve food for takeout and delivery. So we were all left without jobs. I'm applying for unemployment now. April 1st is approaching, rent is due. Fortunately, the management of our building said they're not going to charge us late fees.
Igor Basilevsky and his spouse, Andrei, worked as baristas in 2 different Washington coffee shops. They both lost their jobs.
We just moved to a new place, so we spent almost all of our savings on moving. We didn't expect that we would both lose our jobs. We're okay now, but soon we'll need to pay our bills and buy food.
Human Rights Campaign representatives say 29 states don't have legislation in place to protect the rights of LGBTQ members looking for housing and work. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Washington.
The White House recently launched an unusual attack on the congressionally funded Voice of America, the broadcaster you're listening to right now, and the U.S. broadcaster that for decades has provided independent news reporting around the world. In a broadside directed against VOA's coverage of the pandemic and China on Friday, an official White House publication accused it of using taxpayer money, quote, to speak for authoritarian regimes because it covered the lifting of the lockdown in the Chinese city of Wuhan. It went on to say, quote, VOA too often speaks for America's adversaries. VOA Asia's Ira Melman reached out to VOA Director Amanda Bennett to get her response.
The headline was, amid a pandemic, Voice of America spends your money to promote foreign propaganda. Then it says, the VOA too often speaks for America's adversaries, not its citizens. Joining us is Amanda Bennett, and she leads the Voice of America. Amanda, what was your first reaction when you saw that?
Well, I mean, the first thing when you see a criticism is to try and decide whether or not, or check to see whether or not the criticism is valid. So we took a look at the things that were being referred to. And frankly, we were a little puzzled because one of the items that was referred to was an Associated Press story. And the Associated Press, as you know, is a professional news organization that people subscribe to and is used by us as well as many, many news organizations around the world. It was just a simple item about the reopening of Wuhan. And the second one was a set of facts that were drawn from the Johns Hopkins database, which is also the standard thing that everyone is using. So they were both pretty standard, very non-controversial items. So we were a little bit surprised.
Where do you think this came from? Why do you think this came from?
I have absolutely no idea. If people have queries or questions or complaints about our content, we are extremely responsive. So if people reach out to us, we're happy to engage. And if we've made some error, we're happy to correct it. In this case, it came out of the blue.
You know, obviously, I have a point of view here, and it is in support of you because I happen to be part of this. We are reporting every day to all of Asia, English speakers to all of Asia. Our numbers have been going up. People want to hear what is going on. But what do you say to people who are believing what we're doing, and why are we not doing what we were charged with doing?
I think we are doing what we're charged for doing. Now, we're by law required to represent all American people and not just a segment of American people, and to provide objective, truthful news and information according to the highest standards of professional journalism. And so we do our extreme very best to make sure that on all issues, we're looking at it as neutrally as possible and giving all the aspects of it a chance to be seen and heard. And that sometimes includes things that people want to hear, and sometimes includes things that people don't want to hear. But that's how we get our credibility, is that we try very, very hard to show all sides of an issue.
How do you deal with situations like this? Obviously, you, both of us, work for the U.S. federal government.
Well, we are federal employees, but Voice of America is unique in the sense that we are legally separated from interference by any government official. It's one of the things that gives us our power. It's actually, the independence is really the existential question for Voice of America, because even though we are 100% government funded, we are not government controlled. And that's what the difference is between us and other government controlled state media. And it's also one of the reasons we have credibility, is because people know that we are not expressing a single point of view. We're expressing a multiplicity of points of views.
What I'm thinking of is what we are doing, and I know what the rest of VOA is doing, trying to inform our audience, which are people around the world, what is happening with the coronavirus pandemic. Doesn't that stand up against what we have been charged with doing?
You know, I think I'd like to look at it in a bigger context, which is that, yes, of course, that's what we're doing. And as a matter of fact, you can tell by the way our audiences are growing in all the 47 languages in which we broadcast. Our audiences are huge, and people from all over the world are really coming to us, because you can see that in a crisis like this, they really want to know what's what. And people are coming to us from countries, for example, where the country's press is required to produce the official version of what's going on. And everybody sees that in those countries, that's not the whole version. So people are coming to us looking to see what experts from all around the spectrum are telling them. And that's one of our great strengths, is we broadcast all around the world, and we're trusted to show all sides of an issue.
It was very interesting that the VOA has been charged with taking the China side of the stories, but at the same time, China is kicking journalists out of China.
Yes, in common with the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, and Time magazine, we've been effectively barred from most of our news gathering operation in China. And we'd very much like to report from China. So that, I think, shows that there is some maybe fear of what we're reporting to the rest of the world, and frankly, to the people of China themselves.
Thank you so much for this. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Ira.
And that's VOA Asia for today. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing a little of your time. We'll be back again tomorrow. We hope you'll join us then. And until then, take care and be well.